SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and as I adjust the little audio so that I can hear myself, there we go. All right. Where was I? SteveBick.com, I guess. I don't know. midweek and a big race day. Made possible by a three-day carryover at Belmont and waiting for scratches later, probably when Seth Merrill rolls around in hour three, we'll get a chance to see how the changes might have affected things. They are on the turf. We didn't have to worry about that. And actually, let me look at the communique to make a determination. I wonder if they talked about, they did not mention the course condition, but on the turf, all the MTOs have been scratched, so no concerns on that front, and all we can do is assume it's going to be, I'm going to say it's firm with maybe, you know, a little cut, just enough to let the horses get their toes, you know, dug in a little bit, because I don't know if they got as much rain as we did, but I'm gonna speculate, and let me just see if conditions. Sometimes conditions are listed first if they get an early note out, and nope, all they've got are the new gelding discussions, and on that front, there is in the sequence. There's one new gelding. It's Kieran McLaughlin for Len Green, and on a spree, the 5 in that maiden 50. And actually, I threw that horse in as kind of an exotics player. When I wrote things up this morning, and I have finished the pick 6 for all intents and purposes, and I've got a working play of $192. 48 for the all A play, 2x1x3x2x1x2 for the all A's. But I did put in, and this is, you know, this is one of those areas when you look at that maiden claimer as a fourth horse, I put in on a spree in large part, you know, second career start, first time gelding, and, you know, you could have a slightly different horse. And this is the kind of change, you know, this is the, you know, the real, you know, inside baseball part of putting, you know, pick 6 tickets together. I don't think I'm protecting on a spree as a winner, as even as a C, but for those that are not playing the pick 6, you know, this is a horse to be aware of. I mean, you've got that Crypto Gold, you know, coming off the disqualification. I made a case yesterday with Mike Beer for Spindletop, for using Spindletop, who seems to be moving in the right direction, who you know, looks like a progressive horse, and Whiskey Is My Wine, you know, the George Abreu that, you know, you get the sense is going to have the lead and could take them, you know, all the way around. But a horse like On a Spree may not be a win candidate, but it's the kind of horse that when you write up selections, it's a little tricky. You don't want to just, you know, slap one horse after another. You want to look at the race and convey, you know, horses to use and not necessarily as win candidates, but those of you that follow and have looked at how I write them up, you know, I got the most likely, next best, the best value, exotic use, and you know, super or super high five ads. And, you know, I'm trying to translate, trying to tell you, you know, a little bit more if I haven't added a comment about the race and also the placement, you know, vulnerable favorites. You know, typically you pick against them and you put them second or third. You know, horses, you know, look at the ninth race, a horse like that, Youth Gone Wild. You know, that's a horse that has had a million chances, but has run plenty of races that would win this, this maiden 40 for state breds. You know, so you pick a horse like that third, and, you know, it's probably a B or a C ticket, depending on your budget. But, you know, not everybody obviously is going to play the pick six today. You're going to, actually a fun card. And if you looked at it for the pick six, you would then, you know, you would then want to do some more things. In fact, you know, the way players' minds work, I looked at races 3 through 8, obviously, and I said to myself, well, wait a minute. Let's take a peek at races 1 and 2, because if you've already handicapped races 3, 4, and 5, well, what's going on in the first and the second? Maybe the early pick 5 is worth playing. You know, that's, yeah, absolutely. So I didn't actually throw them in the write-up, but after the show, got an hour and change before the first race, I'll look at races 1 and 2 and put them together with, you know, the first half of the pick six, races 3, 4, and 5, and maybe play a pick 5. Haven't put the tickets together for the Naira Betts pick 5 or the late pick 4, but they're certainly worth playing. I can tell you one horse that kind of wormed his way into my heart as a potential single. And I'm just answering Pete. Pete's going to be 940. Frank Miramati after the first break. We will get the Miraman, and we'll get Frank. He's got a bunch, obviously, with the transition from the Santa Anita booth back to Monmouth, and we'll talk about that. Also, you know, Frank, if you aren't aware, is very close to Jim McInvale, and the reports and the news out of Houston about Mac having a real health scare, a stroke episode, and we'll get an update from Frank on how Mac is doing, and, you know, the Houston community especially, just, you know, hangs on everything that happens in and around Mattress Mac. He has been so good to the people of Houston and the, you know, the outlying community between the various disasters that, particularly natural weather disasters that, that whole region is susceptible to. And he's beloved, just beloved. And of course has been, you know, a active and enthusiastic participant in the game as an owner, does some breeding too, and if he's got a health concern, I guarantee you he's going to overcome it, and he's going to will himself to watch the Run Happy Babies hit the racetrack. That's for sure. So we'll get Frank Miramati in about 10 minutes after the first break, and then Pete Fornatel and obviously Sid, Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll talk to Sid as well and Seth later, and want to slip a couple of catch up with a couple of horsemen discussions that we haven't gotten to already. Managed to blow through 2 days here, Monday and Tuesday. So lots to do. Back to this New York story. And in that seventh race, and I'm anxious for Seth, for Seth's takes too. But the more I looked at that seventh race, and this is a state bred allowance, the feature as it were, and six on the Widener turf course for the fillies and mares, the state breds. And the more I looked, the more I thought Silencia, that Harry Landry, for those of you that are those of you that buy New York breads and participate in the sales arena here in this area, and not just New York, but other places, certainly Florida, OBS, and Timonium, etc., with New York breads. Harry Landry, of course, a longtime breeder and consigner. And this is a horse, Silencia, that Harry bred and owns and is campaigning. And the more I looked at Silencia, the more I liked her. And I ended up using her as the single. For budget purposes, that Mutakatif, the Shadwell with Chad Brown in the second leg, that allowance going six on the grass, he's okay. I obviously he's the favorite, 6-5, and is a likely winner. And if you've got a budget and you want to spread elsewhere, and I think there are a couple of places you need to spread, the first and the leg and the last leg in particular. But if you're looking for, if Mutakatif is one of your singles and you want another one, I think Silencia might be a horse you can really lean on here. And, not only from a pace standpoint and fitting the race flow and so forth, but I like the fact that Silencia is coming back to face statebreds. Was down in Maryland, and in fact, Landry has got the horse in Mid-Atlantic Connection hands. Lynn Ashby and Jose Garcia is at least named to ride. We'll see if he comes up. But the point is, this is a horse that it is a little dirtied up, a couple of races that came off the turf. And this was a turf horse all along. And it's third choice, 4-1. It's a good horse to key around. And, as Mike Beer pointed out, you have horses like that Sadie Lady who, has disappointed. Jaded Lady for My Englehart's okay. It's a keeper. Feels like a price. And we also talked about Questec as well. But I ended up singling. I'm going to single the Silencia, especially because that last race, how often do we get to these kinds, these maiden claiming types? And as I said with Mike, you have a horse like Youth Gone Wild that's had a bunch of chances and at some point is going to break a maiden. And you say to yourself, well, if you've got a budget, this is a horse that you just hope doesn't beat you. If you've got, a medium-sized budget, or big, you need to be aware it's a B or a C, because at some point, nothing worse than that. And you, Andy, when I talk strategy about building tickets with Andy as well, it's one of those scenarios. You either sometimes you hold your nose and include, and if you've got the budget for it, and if the rest of the play, warrants it and gives you leeway. So often it's not hard or varying degrees of hard, but it's not impossible to go through a card and on your pass through identify all the winners. It's another thing to then, judge the sequence. This is where the challenge is, judging the sequence and, protecting and running all the scenarios through your head that could result in a winner other than, the most obvious ones. And that's where your budget comes in and your decision-making and your experience. So all of that weighs very heavily, obviously. And so we'll wait for scratches and we'll keep talking. And I and my man Steve Carlin with a quick note from Long Island, lives in Merrick, close by, and said they actually ended up getting much less rain than expected yesterday. So should be good and firm, and in fact, maybe even, who knows, maybe even a little slick on the grass. So we'll talk to Seth later. Maybe we'll get another opinion cameo in here between now and noon. Scratches usually show up about 10:30. Andy's on vacation. Andy's away for a few days. So that early benefit we frequently get from Andy, you know, he'll call down to the mutual department and get the scratches early and send those out for people. So without Andy, we may have to wait till regular release of the scratch news. We will be looking forward, I mentioned yesterday, to the weekend's racing action, and they'll be drawing everything later today. It's one of the bigger Saturdays of the early summer, certainly. Queen's Plate. Getting excited about the Queen's Plate. Why not? See if Neil Howard, Desert Ride, can it be another filly in the Queen's Plate? Not as dramatic as Tom Durkin and Rags to Riches. A filly in the Belmont! It's a filly in the Belmont. But it's a great card, always. Queen's Plate, the King Edward, the Highlander, the Dance Smartly, the Charlie Barley. Not to be confused with Charlie Bowden, who, of course, was Darley Charlie for a long time, or Charlie Darley. This is the Charlie Barley, the $100,000 three-year-old turf mile. And, of course, Churchill Downs, winding. The Bashford Manor, two-year-old. The Grade Three, the Debutante, the Kelly's Landing. As well today, and Summit of Speed, Princess Rooney is, and the Smile on Saturday at Gulfstream, along with the Bob Humphrey. We'll let Hammer on Friday, guaranteed. Hammer's got to, I think we got to get a couple of Bob Humphrey stories, and of course they have to be they have to be reviewed for for appropriateness. on a family show, the mother goose. Could it be the mother of all gooses? I'm in a cheery mood. I can see the mid-season finish line. Getting a little punchy. Well, Deja tells me you are in a good mood. Deja helps. She was going through. She's reaching deep into the stacks of wax here at WBYK. the music of ATR. She's discovering all kinds of things. Casey, by the way, doing better and better. Knock on wood. We'll hopefully hear from Kay after the holiday break. Let's take a break. We're going to hear from Frank Miramonte next at the races. Stay with us. Pete Fornatel back from the UK as well.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Summer is one of the best times for serious horse players to bet their races. Saratoga and Del Mar are in full swing, along with other top tracks like Gulfstream and Laurel, and ExpressBet puts them all at your fingertips. Plus, ExpressBet customers can play in exclusive tournaments and promotions this summer, and new customers can earn a $500 sign-up bonus. Visit ExpressBet.com today. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in the state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 25 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, 20 minutes in, 20 plus, and Frank Miramonte is going to join us in a minute. I got to get in one of our little fun race notes here mid-season. And, you know, as you know, what, 2 weeks ago, I guess now? Let me look up here. Yeah, the 13th, so 2 weeks ago tomorrow. Carlisle Bell, yeah, she won her second race. That was great. But today at Carlisle Racecourse in Britain, it is Carlisle Bell Day. And you're saying to yourself, oh, really? The name means something? It's not Carlisle, Pennsylvania? No, it's not Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Carlisle Racecourse. And the bell, for those of you that haven't heard me explain this before, is the oldest known trophy in the sporting world. It dates back to 1599, and the Carlisle, there's actually two bells. They're like little sleigh bells, like those bells on a leather strop. And the bell was created or offered as a trophy at Carlisle Racecourse and before 1600. So it's the oldest known trophy in sport, and it has a pretty funny history too, because the bells disappeared at some point in the 1800s. They don't know, it just disappeared, and so for many years the actual, you know, Carlisle bell was missing, and then in the 1930s, I think the late 20s or the 1930s, somebody found them in a filing cabinet, like behind a bunch of files. Somebody put it away, you know, maybe an employee, you know, put the bell away after the race and who knows, and then, you know, wasn't around the next year to fish them out. And all of a sudden, the bells were missing for, I think, close to 100 years, like from 1830 to 1930. Could you imagine? The Woodlawn Vase was buried, during the Civil War, so I that could have been lost forever. But the Carlisle Bell being run at 10:30, and in fact, maybe we'll pull up the bell, and maybe we'll listen to it live. I saw that Danny Tudhope has got a mount, I think third choice, and I'll give everybody, when Pete joins us, we'll come back to Carlisle. But I was absolutely delighted. I wished everybody best of luck at Carlisle and Racing TV, the UK's channel, the UK UK's racing channel. They saw my note, and there is the little snippet that I offered, which is a part of a poem, I imagine, about the Carlisle Bell. The swiftest horse this bell to take for my lady Dacre's sake. So I when I read about the Carlisle Bell years ago, I thought that would be a great name for a horse. And this is our homebred filly out of Aushable Chasm. And I said, you know what? This is my chance. This is, there it is, Carlisle Bell. And later on today, by the way, I'll mention about our Arch filly that got a name as well over the weekend, going into the weekend. So I want to talk about that. What's wrong with me? Frank is going to join us first. Frank Biramati making his way across country to get back into the race calling booth at Monmouth Park. Good morning.
I'll tell you, it's been a rough couple of months. Are you kidding me? How are you, Steve? I am reporting live from the Jersey Shore. Let me tell you that to add to the everything isn't exactly going smoothly routine. As we were descending into Newark, we were rerouted yesterday morning right into Cleveland due to congestion in the air. So even the flight didn't exactly go as originally planned. Welcome to Cleveland, and it was such a low announcement that I have to believe some people woke up thinking they were in Newark on that plane, and we're to find out that we would be in Newark in about 3 or 4 hours.
That's pretty funny. I mean, frankly, you know, if you came over the lake and landed at Cleveland, and it wouldn't have been that different. You would have thought, oh, okay, we're coming in over the Amboys. Oh no, actually, wait a minute. We're in Cleveland. That's pretty good. Well, I think Jason Beam stopped in Cleveland as well on his way to Monmouth.
He does some great traveling. I told him when he was making his trip out this way how much I was looking forward to kind of living vicariously. He's a guy that really likes to make the most out of life and visits and opportunities and seeing new things. And I told him I was part of the fun of bringing him in out of the bullpen was to be able to watch his adventures through the little videos that he creates, because he's a very fun person. And he did a great job, by the way. Everyone has very clearly stated that on social media. It's actually one of the topics that there's been some positive feedback on the social media world, which was good, which is Beamy has a tremendous fan base, and proud to call him a friend and really happy that I could help him in that opportunity. It was one that was well-deserved. And actually, there were a couple of things along the way where he had been looking for work at places I had worked, and I tried to help him, and I started getting the indication that maybe a recommendation from me wasn't exactly helping him. But in this circumstance, it worked out perfectly. He fit in and did a fantastic job. I was at Monmouth yesterday and saw the people, and everyone was very, very much giving him a thumbs up for his job well done. And we will, his fan base will be hearing more of him at the end of the meet and then into the Meadowlands turf meet he's going to call. And Monmouth is going to run some Sundays in October, so he's in a great spot right now, and it's an opportunity he deserved and that he took full advantage of. When I interviewed for the job, an interview that if we had a video of that interview in the room with everybody, there's no question we could sell copies of that thing. There was some great commentary during that interview. It was stuff that I wouldn't want to get into now, but it was great. But when we did, one of the things that was noted was that Monmouth Park very much loved the very simple calls of Bob Weems and the very accurate and clear calls of Larry Comas. They weren't looking for any danger field calls or anything of that nature. And so, you know, when I told Jason, when we went over all the stuff that needed to be done, I said, just whatever you do, don't go in there and try to get fancy. Just do the job, be accurate, and you will be loved. And that's exactly what happened, and he did a fantastic job. So thank you, Jason, and we're ready to rock and roll on Friday.
Absolutely. And, in fact, just received the either yesterday or the day before, maybe on Monday, I got the invitation to the Haskell press conference and, of course, a Saturday running of the Haskell. And we'll be down for at least Thursday and Friday to broadcast from Monmouth. Looking forward to it. And we'll talk more about the Monmouth season and a couple of other topics. Frank, let's take things in chronological order. And, of course, you kind of hinted at it a rough couple of months. This was uncharted territory for everybody, for every walk of industry life. The winter of the Santa Anita meet and then into the spring and early summer. Some thoughts putting it behind.
I thought your wording was quite classic on your text. You said, would you like to put a bow on the Santa Anita meet for us? That was, sometimes it takes a lot of creativity to make me laugh by a text, but you did so there. Well, let's say this. I have been proud to have kept my comments to a minimum on many topics, particularly on social media, because there are a lot of things that I'm an opinionated individual, and there are a lot of topics that I would like to really address, which I won't be doing now. But it's just, here's the thing. It's difficult sometimes in our industry to do this because it's so easy to take the opposite sides of things. And so I have found, and I'm very proud of my lack of activity on Twitter of late, because in the end, there's no upside. I will say that it was definitely a very stressful time and something like I could never have imagined. But this opportunity, let's first talk about the opportunity of calling races at Santa Anita and getting that job. Something as a track announcer I always dreamt of. My perfect scenario in life would have been, you know, when I started in 96 at Hialeah, would be to one day somehow, some way get to Santa Anita. I had no idea what that road would entail, but you just, you just never know. Anyway, opening day was an amazing experience, one that I'll never forget. The interview with Brittany Erden in the middle of the day after a couple of races and then getting the call to Malibu and a lot of great racing action. Started out great, John Sadler, Veronis Racing, they would have a great meet, and everything was perfect. Unfortunately, the things that happened were very difficult, and I really believe, and I will say this, I think the Stronach Group has taken a lot more heat than necessary, and I'm not saying that everything has been smooth sailing, but the problem is, I think right now, and this is about the only thing I'll say, I don't care what the Stronach Group would do, there will be critics taking shots. And I know this, that right now the company's stance and commitment is for safety, and that is the number one priority. And all of the decisions and all of the things that are happening are based upon that. And it's very unfortunate for some of the things that have happened. And it's been tough, there's no question. But at the end, when it comes to the racing, Santa Anita is still the great race place. We had some phenomenal racing. We had some great competition. We had some horses stepping up. And I'm hoping that everything is going to get much better in the future. And it's going to be, your radio show is going to be applauding the efforts and the direction of the Santa Anita Park. That's my hope, Steve.
Well, and I certainly, understand, the position, and, the just impossible, really an impossible situation that, you know, that everybody in the various capacities, I think about you and Mike Willman and, you know, anybody
Mike's only aged about 10 years in the last 6 months. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that had, you know, that had to put a brave face on, you know, on the day to day. I mean, the various measures and all of that is separate from everybody having to do their job and make it as, you know, make things as pleasant for patrons and provide the information. You know, obviously Tom Quigley and everybody on that end and you know, mutuals and you know, there's people that were impacted. You know, terribly. I mean, waiters the wait staff and bartenders and you know, anybody that lost days and days and days of you know, of their own revenue and just you know, you got to feel for them. And I know that, in fact, whether it was Rick Hammerly or John Parada in particular, that you know, voiced that over the winter and into the spring. So. Los Al starting up and Del Mar, and we'll see what the Breeders' Cup people have to say tomorrow when they have their meeting in Lexington, and we'll go from there.
I'd say bring it right to Arcadia where it belongs and where it's planned to be.
And it feels like, you know, every effort is going to be made on that front. I mean, for starters, there's contractual obligations, and then there's also just the right thing in terms of you know, the industry at large and, you know, following through, and, you know, keeping things at Santa Anita is the preferred course of action, I think. And on the same vein, we understand the people that are calling for, you know, a move, and a relocation. So, We wish the Cup people, Craig Frabel and his team, Dora Delgado and everybody the best. Separately, let's move.
You know what's been tough? I'll tell you what's been tough. And obviously the people that listen to your show and the people in the industry understand how much love and care are given to these horses. It really is outrageous how non-racing fans who have the power of the typewriter, or, you know, not typewriter anymore, but the keyboard, have just talked about the topic without acknowledging the love that these horses get on a daily basis and the care that these horses get. It's very difficult to read. And, but we, all your listeners, what I'm saying now is not going to enlighten right. any of your listening. These are racing fans, and these are people in the industry that are listening to your show. So, it is outrageous to see the outside ridiculous coverage, but what can you do? That's just the way the world works, and you know people focus in on things and with no understanding, and so that's why they had the press conference to show you know some of the people that work every day and all that, and they had their, I didn't go to that, but there were a lot of people that wanted to voice their love and their hard work and the care that the horses get. So anyway, what can you say, Steve? We onward and upward. We were, you know, sometimes when you're rooting for your horse at the end of a race, you just yell out wire, wire. And, in this case, you know, we were, the last few days, we just were, looking forward to, you know, closing it out on a positive note and, moving on.
Well, and what you bring up, kind of came, it kind of came to me on, I guess it was Monday, the Patrick Mahar reached out from the Wrap, the afternoon show on the Mad Dog sports channels, and we actually ended up having a much different conversation than I expected. I thought he would ask, you know, just some nuts and bolts, you know, some of the mechanics of what transpired, and instead we ended up in more of a esoteric and somewhat ephemeral discussion, and I drove home that same point that there's a real frustration to this, given the mainstream media coverage that really has no clue what they're reporting on. They're taking information and sensationalizing it for their own, glorification, essentially, and they're communicating inaccurate, all kinds of inaccuracies and distortions. And the game is so involved, and so there's so many layers to every single portion of this business and industry that if people aren't going to take the time to try to get the real story and understand and learn, then I don't know. I'm sure I came off slightly as somebody that was feeling a little despondent. I hope that's not the case, but I really am at a loss. I mean, it's one thing for us on this show, 15 hours a week, where we have easily enough time to delve into these topics. I mean, for instance, the situation with Jerry Hollendorfer yesterday, I had Alan Foreman, who explained from a legal standpoint the, the private property clause in racetracks and understanding, what racetracks can do, what the recourses are, and what they're, how the owners can respond, and et cetera. I mean, we can flesh out those topics, but in tweets and in, and in edited commentaries and on shows, like Real Sports and with, what CNN, the disgusting editing in that piece on HBO and on CNN, taking video that is decades old of spills and integrating it like as if they were happening that afternoon. I mean, it's just you get the sense that it's a blood in the water situation, Frank, where the people are just going to heap whatever potential damaging distortion essentially they can, and how do we counter that? You can only invite people, to come to either the racetrack or to sit down and listen and learn. And I don't know how we do that with a public that, has blood in its mouth.
I don't know, my man. I know the less I say, the better off I am, because I hate to have to issue apologies later.
No, nothing to apologize for.
No, I'm just saying, sometimes you look at Twitter and you just see people apologizing for what they said. I will say, and I want to emphasize that again, that from being there, first of all, most of the stuff I have found out has been right on Twitter as far as things that are going on. I'm not privy to the discussions, but I do know that the company's stance is very firmly it's strictly to make racing as safe as possible. And when any tough decision or, in times like this, any decisions that are made are not easy to make, but they all have the same common goal, which is to make sure that everything is safe and that everyone is following the rules that are out there. And there have been various, there's just been some bad luck along the way in this deal, too.
Of course.
It's just bad
of
timing.
Course.
And it's just been, it really is, I should have looked up words that would be close to surreal. Surreal is an overused word, but some of this stuff.
No, that's accurate.
You couldn't make up.
That's for sure. So, that's for sure.
But we have to, what I'd like to talk about is that, we've also had some great racing. We've had some nice horses that have shown up this meet that are going to go on and hopefully do some big things. My favorite horse of the meet is a horse named Noldy, who's going to win the Del Mar Derby for you. And a colt that really just took to the grass, and he won. He broke his maiden, came back, and won the A other than the other day. And he didn't win by much, but he is a horse of much quality for Mr. Moss, John Sheriff, Victor Espinoza. We had that great Jockeys and Jeans function for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. I thought that was an outstanding turnout.
It's Saturday.
It was a lot of fun. That was wonderful. And the night before we had a get-together, I was so looking forward to talking to Sandy Holly, because I hadn't seen him since I got his autograph as a kid a long time ago. And we talked about some of the horses he rode and some obscure horses as well as horses like Ancient Title, and just a wonderful conversation with Sandy, and met Early Fires. It was a lot of fun, and you know, those guys are, you know, it brings back so many memories. Of course, we all have the fond memories of when we grow up in this game. And Chris McCarron, Kent DeSormo, Lafitte Pink Eye's always at these events. It's just Steve Coffin. I mean, how cool is it to talk to Steve Coffin, you know? And I told him, in fact, I was kidding with him. I said, you know, in today's world, they would just tell you that a firm was on the golden rail. And that's why he got home in all three legs, you know? Horse racing has changed. We're now every race is just an excuse for why it didn't happen the way someone predicted it was going to happen. It's never that it was a good horse that was on the inside. It was just golden. So I told him, man, good thing you knew that. How did you know the rail was good those days when I was feeling laughing? Yeah,
that's
it was good
great. Time. Well, you know, you realize you do have to send Johnny D 10% of whatever fee Sandy Hawley charged.
Of course.
Yeah, because Johnny.
Right. That's right. I never even thought about that. That's good. Sandy Hawley was. I was giving him obscure horses like Okay So Far, unbeknownst to me, and he said, "What about Ancient Title?" I said, "I know. I'm talking about some of the claimers." So it was great. 11 Stitches. We had a lot of great reminiscing. And those guys, you know, when we're kids and we're getting these autographs, the images, you know, I told Chris McCarron when I saw him the other day, I said, you know, one of the times I told him there were two times I remember getting his autograph. One was a horse named Summertime Guy at Del Mar. And then one was a horse named Happy Bride for Laz Barrera at Santa Anita. Those are the actual memories that just get carved into your mind at a young age when you're getting those autographs. And, unfortunately, a friend of mine's wife threw away a huge bag of old programs that I had. I mean, when I say like a laundry bag, I mean hundreds and hundreds of my favorite programs were all gone, including those autographs. It's like someone throwing away your baseball card collection. She said, "What the heck is this?" and threw it out. I was not pleased. In my early days of moving around from city to city over the last 25 years, I stored some stuff in his garage and was very unhappy to find that I lost all those programs. But great memories, and good to see a cause like that so well received. And fittingly, in the middle of all that, Mike Smith put on an epic ride in front of all of those Hall of Famers to show them that he's still got it. So it's just that was a fun day, and we were, you know, doing things to try to reach out to young people music wise at the end of the day. And so I know the efforts are there to continue to, you know, it's all about the fan experience. And I know that the management at Santa Anita is first and foremost concerned about the safety and the well-being of everyone involved. And also, you know, continuing to expand and bring more people in to enjoy the love of horse racing. That's what it's all about, is the new fans. It's hard to get new fans. I know we've had many committees and marketing geniuses that haven't figured it out, but and it's not easy, and it's a much more competitive environment today, and people want action immediately, and it's just a different situation. But I know that that we're making all the efforts, and I think that when we come back the end of September and then into next year, you're going to see more and more activities designed to have people enjoying the time at the racetrack as much as possible, and with other events as well, on track. So some big plans in the works at Santa Anita.
Well, you mentioned enjoying the game, and nobody seems to enjoy being around it and having a good horse more than your friend, Jim McInvale and Mattress Mac, with a serious health scare, Frank. And the news came out over the last 24 hours. Bring everybody up to speed and give everybody an update on how Mac's doing.
Mac and I are very close. We talk almost every day and sometimes several times a day. And I had texted him yesterday because my mom had been going through some health stuff, and I told him a good update from the doctor for her. And I didn't hear back from him for a few hours, which was very rare, but I thought maybe he was working or something. And then I saw on Twitter that he was in the hospital, and I went and watched a little clip he had put on Facebook Live. And I confirmed this morning with his daughter, Laura, that he did have a mini stroke. He's still at St. Luke's. He stayed overnight. They're doing some more testing today. He is okay. He's in good health. Thankfully he was aware and was able to catch that. And, you know, he went in and, saw the doctors, and he's going to be okay. But, those are scares. He's a very intense man. That's the understatement of the year. He works hard. He works out about 4 hours a day. He doesn't sleep much. I mean, for a man who has these great mattresses, he doesn't spend much time on them. Our thoughts are with him, and he was accepting texts, and he has such an amazing following, of course, for all of the things he's done. He's a very caring guy. He'll help anyone, and he actually funded the first mobile stroke unit in Houston, and things like that. He's always doing things to help the community and help fellow man in every way imaginable. And so a lot of love and a lot of prayers going in his direction. But Laura said he's okay, and his health has been perfect. Other than this, he felt a little tingling in his arm and on his face a little bit, and he went right in. But she did confirm it was a mini stroke. But he from his voice and listening to his little video that he, how great is Matt that in the middle of all of that, he was giving people an update, and at the end he said, "Don't forget to go into Gallery Furniture because the 4th of July sale is coming." what a great salesman. He's always,
that's great.
He's a master. There's nothing quite like when he yells sales meeting in the front at that store. You have to really be ready to work like you're in the military if you're a gallery. I spent a few hours there on a few occasions, and I just say, wow, these guys are committed. Patrick Mahan, who is a big ad agency man, actually spent 3 years working at Gallery Furniture. I had no idea, and he was telling me about the work days there. Those are some long work days, and he knows how to train a good salesperson. That's for sure. So Mac is okay, and I'm sure you'll be getting more updates online about him. But any thoughts and prayers that you could put in his direction would be good, because he's always there for everybody else. That's what I put on my Twitter thing. Here's a man who's always thinking about others. What can he do to make things better? What can he do to promote racing? And he's very excited. We talk every day about Run Happy. I'm proud to have put together the original Run Happy campaign. Mac and I worked that thing out, and my dear friend Ed Etheridge, who used to work with Teleview many years ago and now has an ad agency, Etheridge Productions, created the first wave of Run Happy commercials, and Studio 34 now with Patrick Mahan that I just mentioned and Claiborne do the spots now. And one thing is for certain, people are familiar with the cult Run Happy, and Mac believes in advertising, and he believes in sponsorships, and he's done an amazing job. And the good news is, he has, every day he's so excited about the yearlings and about the future and putting out bonuses. You get $100,000 if you win at Saratoga with a Run Happy and all that kind of stuff. And he's, we've talked a lot about the stud fee. I said, why have you not raised this stud fee? But Mac believes that that'll happen. And when it does, it'll be a dramatic raise down the road. But he wants to give everyone a fair shot. That's what he's all about, is being fair and being good to people. And we certainly want him to quickly get out of there and get back to what he does best, which is to make sure his employees are working as long as humanly possible. He keeps them going and makes sure his customers get their furniture the same day. There's no one quite like this guy. All he does is work. You wonder, like, you get to that level of success, like, chill out, my man. There's no such thing for him. Chilling out is not something he has on any agenda. I always got to say about Mac, when I was going through some major health things, he brought me right to his home, and he took me to the hospital there and MD Anderson. And I ended up eventually having my second surgery in New York at Memorial Sloan, but it was the genetic testing that I did in Houston that was very key to the decision that I made about what to do, because thankfully those tests were inconclusive, because if you have that kind of problem, sometimes they have to take your whole colon out, and thank God they didn't have to do that with me. So Mac is the man, and we hope that he gets right back. Knowing him, he'll be selling furniture tonight, making sure that the customers are happy and getting on the phone and being the person that he is.
Well, I appreciate it, and I knew you were the right. I had you on the list anyway, and then when that news flashed across, uh, I I said, well, Frank is a must now to get an update on Max, and we wish Jim McInville the best. And, Frank, looking forward to Friday, and obviously the Saturday card will get drawn today.
Yep.
Coming off the United Nations Eatontown weekend and still actually digesting some of that. We had Jimmy Toner on and haven't had a chance to talk to Kelly Breen, but Monongahela won the Island, and Suge and Pink Sands won the Lady Secret. Mentioned Pat McBurney, a local favorite down there. Golden Brown wins the Dan Horn. And, well, Kelly won the Eatontown with Valedictorian, the Temple City. So Paco Lopez back off of his suspension, and hopefully he's learned a lesson. And
yeah.
We'll
My
see.
Favorite thing about Paco, we were at a jockey event one day at a local restaurant, and I asked him, I said, are you friends with these other jockeys? And he says, I know them. That's the greatest answer I've ever heard. That was such a great answer for Paco. I know them. I love that. He's a tough competitor, and he's hard to beat. But I'm looking forward to getting back over here, and very thankful to Dennis Drazen and the whole team, Billy Knopf and Bill Anderson and everybody here, John Himes, for allowing me to miss such a significant period of time. And, of course, Dr. Chinisi here saved my life by having some amazing instincts. So I'm very happy to be back here and looking forward to the next 3 months here at Monmouth Park.
Well, and looking forward to seeing you in actually just a few weeks leading into Haskell.
Yes, we're almost there. And don't forget, we both love sponsors, the TVG.com Haskell. And that's what it'll be this year. And we will have some great participation. Baffert says at least one, hopefully two. And hopefully we get Maximum Security back as well, and King for a Day and some other nice horses. This is going to be a big race, and looking forward to it with great anticipation.
Well, we've got a wide open battle now for the 3-year-olds, and you mentioned obviously the 1-2 finishers out of the Pegasus Prep with Max Security and King for a Day. But it looks like you're going to have both of Greg Sacco's runners. Looks like Jovia and Mind Control are going to contest, and you mentioned Baffert, obviously Mucho Gusto, and maybe another, and there'll be a couple more. And of course the whole card. I mean, it's a great. It's a great day. Besides,
I was so happy for Greg with Jovia, but that was something that he was wondering whether he should run in the Belmar or go to the Pegasus, and it was he made the right call. And I said, look, you got to dream in this world. You never know. That's why it's horse racing. How many times do we see that it doesn't exactly go the way we selected it? I know that happens with me quite frequently, about every half an hour. But good for him for giving a shot to the Belmont and the Sourceland Giant.
Well, and I just was, it's funny. You mentioned the TVG moniker, there's been some interesting over the years. There's been some interesting product associations with Haskell, including I think there was a BlackBerry Haskell.
Oh, I don't even remember.
There was a BlackBerry Haskell, and.
Yeah.
There was another one. The phone company actually they used to advertise that with us on the show. That's got to go back to 2009 or something. I don't know. I know Izod. There was also an Izod Haskell.
Great.
Yeah, there's been some.
That's right. So when they cough up, you got to take care of them, right? That's what it's all about. We certainly understand that with the sponsors. They keep the game going, and the ones in the end, the sponsors in general, will for the most part endorse things that they personally believe in. And I know you. Let's say this. I know you're not aggressive, but there are a lot of people that would sponsor your show if you welcome them. And I like your philosophy, which is to not have an overwhelming number of it, but at the same time, you deserve it because you do such a great job. And congratulations on the big award at Pimlico. I'm glad to be able to tell you that on the air. I texted you about that, but
thank you.
That was well deserved, Steve. You do a wonderful job, and your guests, and you're always looking out for the game, and Every day I find out how much more you know about pedigrees and things like that, which is always fun. And some of these old school horsemen that I don't know much about their years behind, you get to entertain your guests with stuff that is educating them at the same time. And it's a lot of fun, and you really do a phenomenal job, and you can pat yourself on the back. You're entitled, because you perform every day, and you're doing a great service to the industry. And so look at the bright side of everything with the Strana Group, my dear brother.
There you go. Well, Frank, I appreciate that. It's very kind, and I'm looking forward to seeing you just a couple of weeks away.
Can't wait, man. We've already logged in a couple of pizza places, and we'll do it together. We've got to go out and have a
deal. It's a deal. Without fail. Frank Miramati, everybody, and he's back on Friday in Oceanport. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Pete Fornatel is going to join us. And he's back as well. He's back in Brooklyn after his trip to the UK, and he had a wild time. We're going to hear some stories, and we'll look forward as well to Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. That'll be with Sid at the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
She wants everything. She wants the Gucci and the Louis things. All the juicy and canary blend. She wants the kind of things that gonna stain. And she won't give it up until you give her just about enough. Those girls are so dangerous. It's the make a lover, bro. Why do you want that love? Do you need that love?
We're back at the races. A little bit past the top of the hour. Pete Fornatel is going to join us next. And I got it right back to Sid because I told him we were running a little bit late. There we go. And so make sure that Sid's okay for bottom of the hour. And he is. Okay, good. And I think, let me see. Yes, he says okay. Very good. I got a couple of interesting things for him as it happens. You know, as we, we got Pete standing by. Do we? Is that you, Pete? No, maybe it's not. All right, we'll wait a second. There he is. There's Pete. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you. I hope we haven't been having any technical difficulties today. Is everything on the up and up?
Yeah, if you'd listened, you might have heard Frank Miramati the last half hour.
I listen, just not live. I'm a SteveBick.com man.
There you go. Well, no, Frank, we had actually quite a bit to touch on with Frank between the end of Santa Anita season for him and the start, getting in to Oceanport and getting going, and also this health issue that found McInvale. Wanted to get all that in with Frank and Frank can talk a little.
He's pretty good at that. He's got the gift of gab, that one. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. In the meantime, you had the craziest trip ever. You were this was the greatest ask at, who cares what happened on the racetrack? What was going on? What was going on with you was more interesting parts of the day than what went on the racetrack.
Well, I think Sheikh Mohammed may beg to differ with the week he had the Blue Point. But I'll tell you this, it was an amazing week. I met some American folks over there who knew me from these appearances. Once again, Steve, thank you for helping get the word out there about my show and all the stuff that I'm doing, but it was such a fun week on Sky Sports. That team is incredible. It's a great group of broadcasters, and they don't really say handicappers in that same sense, of course, but form studiers, and it was cool to be a part of and wonderful to get invited into the crazy social scene through my new friend Finian Moore, who invited me to the Osborne party at the car park. And of course, as folks read, things sort of spiraled. There were a few moments of panic when my morning coat went missing, but due to the power of social media, it was soon after returned, and it ended up being a career move, Steve. The next day, people were recognizing me. You're the dumb Yank who gave away his top coat, but as they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So we had as much fun with it as possible. It was great to meet so many folks, both from the USA, a lot of first-timers, and I've been enough now where I can sort of help guide a little bit what the can't-miss things are throughout the day. That part of my job, being a little bit of an ambassador and helping people enrich their experience in the basket, I relish that. And then just meeting so many people in the game over there was also an absolute blast. And I will admit that on Friday night, I did get, as the sun was going down again, I did see a woman who clearly hadn't come prepared for the cooler weather, and she looked at me with a beseeching gaze, and I just told her, get your own darn coat.
You'd had enough. You weren't going to get sucked in again.
Yeah, I think I exclaimed loudly between epithets on Thursday night, I'm never being nice to anyone again. That lasted about 12 hours.
That's great.
It was a lesson, honestly, in not getting too wound up about these things and how how, I mean, it's cliche, but how things kind of have a way of coming back to you, of working themselves out. And I think immense thanks go to my friend and the great At the Races columnist. He wasn't on the Sky Sports team this time around. He was doing some ITV stuff. You probably saw him on USA TV. But Kevin Blake, who's become a good friend, who, you know, I was still in a fairly manic state and ready to run out to Moss Brothers when they opened and buy another jacket and all and spend all this money. And he's like, I don't be doing that now. He gives it in the Tipperary lilt and explains to me how these things have a way of working themselves out. And he was absolutely right. So thank you, Kevin, and everybody else who made that, turned what was a frustrating story into a really fun one. And what a great meeting. I mean, just top to bottom, we had a different storyline every day that was super compelling. And it was great to be a part of it and be on the scene and cash a winner or two. And I'll tell you what, Steve, after, you know, we watched the Prince of Wales together, and the horse that I was taken by in the paddock, Bald Geist, don't give up on Bald Geist for the King George. You know, watching that tape back, I feel like it wasn't that the ground was a problem, but it was just that he was wide, and that was during the most torrential of that rain, and he was eating so much kickback. And he ended up coming home the fastest final furlong of anybody in the race. This is a horse who's going to come back for the King George. Everybody's going to say, 0 for 6 out of France. The price is going to drift. We're going to bet. And I think we're going to have, I think he's going to at least hit the frame. And I think if everything goes right, he could win. That's a good horse.
Yeah, well, and there's obviously, for those that go beyond just the meet and, you know, want to keep watching, and particularly with those two-year-olds, because there was no shortage of key race kinds of mojo going on with the two-year-olds, and there's a lot to follow. I mean, we got enough that keeps us busy here, but I think every year, Pete, that you know, there's this coverage and the wall to wall we got from NBC and ITV. You know, I had Nick on Monday to recap. Every year they do this, they're going to come out of it with more people that then take an interest in the international scene and are, you know, get captivated and follow it up. And particularly with the access that we've got online, there's no reason not to. I mean, you can, whatever story you got involved in, whether it was the Australian, the heartstring story, from the Australian outfit, the you name it. I mean, there were things to, you know, captivate people. And, I think everybody, you know, more or less you build, you know, more and more of an interest in international racing, you know, as we go through these various stands, starting with the World Cup in the first quarter, then Ascot, and then, you know, later into the Champions and the international races, the HKIR. You know, there's just these certain things that the Japan Cup that get coverage, and I think every time we watch this Melbourne Cup, people learn more, and that's to everybody's benefit.
I'm hoping this is just the beginning of my involvement with Ascot, working on an idea. I'm talking out of school at this point, so nobody tell anybody. But the idea is something between a travel tour to help USA players who have this on their bucket list do it, and do it in a way where they'll get the most out of it, and also potentially a handicapping contest element. And there's obviously a lot that has to go into getting this correct, but if and when these efforts become official, this will be one of the first places I talk about it, and hopefully there's a lot of people in the audience who will be able to participate and enjoy. And I love what you're saying about the whole international calendar. Another thing that I love about it is I just don't think that in any way it takes away from U.S. racing. I think it just enriches it. Even
sure,
the time of day where these things all take place, it sort of fits neatly into your betting day. You don't have to pick and choose and say, oh, I'm going to follow that, so I'm not going to do what I do in the States. You can kind of do it all, and it's just something that I think, as you said, is only going to become a bigger part of the landscape. And I'm hoping that along with that will come easier to use, better data and things that'll really help horse players be able to have that much more fun by using their intellect to compete to the same level that we can do on our racing here at home. So a lot of fun projects to be working on in the months to come.
Well, and you mentioned that, and we're going to try to bring people. I told everybody the story at the beginning of the show, Pete, about actually, I guess it was before Frank came on, our own horse, Carlisle Bell. And today at Carlisle, they're running the Carlisle Bell. So in about 15 minutes, actually. So we're kind of watching that. And Danny Tudhope is on one of the favorites after having had himself a very good Ascot. What you got to have more anecdotes, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much to unpack from it. I mean, my brain goes right away to just what I experienced in terms of the big storylines. So, you know, over here we don't have the opportunity. I guess unless you live in New Jersey, you don't have the opportunity to oppose horses. And I think it would, you know, make many players allergic, the idea of laying a 3-1 shot and only getting 1-3 on a bet. But after Frankie's fourth, the more I was taking a look at the next race, and it's like, okay, who's Frankie on? What's going to happen with the price? I mean, you see a horse who was 16-1 in the morning going off now at 3-1 through an associate over there. I decided to go ahead and step up and risk. I had turned the week around at that point through Ollie after a frustrating first couple of days, as for folks who are following along with Rob Dove's analysis on the In the Money podcast.com blog can relate to. But the bad luck had changed. The seconds had started becoming first, and good things were happening. I was feeling froggy and decided to go ahead and lay Frankie. Well, I'll tell you what, I got every emotion / bodily function that comes with risking your entire profit on the day and then some on a 1-3 shot when Frankie hit the front and only was just barely bailed out at the end. So really, if you ever hear me complaining about how King of Comedy was best, or if you hear me complaining about Kimari, remind me about that. And Frankie himself saying, had he timed the move slightly differently, it wouldn't have been Frankie's 4-timer, it would have been Frankie's 5-timer. So I got a little bit of a taste of what it takes, and I thought of the old racetrack truism: "Ain't no man alive who can make a living at 1-5."
How was your day? I mean, we got a glimpse of it when we talked on Wednesday, but you know, how much were you on the air? How much were you able to, you know, kind of bandy about and take in some of the local flavor portions?
It was plenty of both. I was on the morning show every day, so I do 15-20 minutes in the morning. They have a show at noon, in the noon hour. I did a hit of similar length on that. And then I would be on for the pre and post of every race with a USA runner. So that ended up being, I guess, not quite that many, because some had two in them. It was, I think, 6 other hits throughout the week. So it was plenty of work. I mean, not like Alex and Jamie and Freddie, and I don't want to start naming them because I'll leave people out and feel bad, but it's not like those folks like sitting there for hours at a time. So that afforded me the opportunity to get in and out and mingle with the crowd, and I spent that just all over the place. I went to the press center plenty just because there were a lot of old friends and people hanging around there, but of course you don't get the atmosphere of the track. My broadcaster's badge and costume was able to get me into the Royal Enclosure, and there I met horse racing world is small. The cocktail world might even be smaller, because I was talking to these two brothers, the Pellegrino brothers, who were at, there was like one, there weren't a lot, most of the bars, it's just champagne and pims, but there was one sort of fancy cocktail bar. I think you saw some of the photos from here.
Yes.
And so we started chatting, and we had people in common, even though they're Italian and never been to New York, and I've never really done cocktailing in Italy, through the prism of London, we had people in common and just started talking and talking recipes and making drinks. And then he at some point cheekily invited me, Giovanni cheekily invited me behind the bar and said, oh, I have a funny idea for a photo. I was like, okay, whatever. And then the next thing I knew, the magnum of champagne was being poured down my throat and pictures, photographic evidence was being taken, horrifying my mother. My mother was like, hey, what's going on over there? I'm surprised. I'm glad nobody in a green coat was watching. I think I would have been thrown out on my ear, but honestly, it was their idea. But great guys. I ended up going there every day for at least a drink. And there's just so many different fun ways of experiencing it. So I would move around and try to find my favorite spot for the right blend of viewing and hearing the call and being around the right people. And so there was a ton of bouncing around, and then a lot of Americans and friends from around the racing world passing through. So you just sort of, the day would be compartmentalized. Between hits, I'd say, okay, I'll meet you for this race, I'll meet you for that race. And then you get an opportunity to see an immense amount of people. And then afterwards, because I was fortunate enough to have the invite to the what I'd call a tailgate, the picnic in the car park, what they would say. And then, again, in there, that was just crazy, meeting people from around the racing world. And you can typically find a person in common, though it's very often just Pat Cummins.
I want to give everybody a heads up here, about 10 minutes to the Carlisle Bell, and actually 7 minutes it's showing as here on ExpressBet. And if, for those of you that are betting that have got a screen up, there's an overlay in this. Yeah, they're going to go a mile, and the four horse, and I hope I'm not going to destroy everybody's value, but the four horse is 14-1 on our tote, and that is a big overlay on Tim Easterby's 6-year-old Oasis Dream gelding. That's the horse to work off of. All right, by a wide margin. This is very odd, actually. Some of the more obvious players like Club Wexford with Ben Curtis is 6-1. Tud Hope on Lamb Loom, 5-1. You've got 7-1 on Saison d'Or. This is a major disparity. 13-1 on Al Urag, and Irish bred. You know, Pete, did I discuss with you? Was it you that was on the air when that racetrack from Wales turned up on their anniversary? No, I guess it was Thursday.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you mean, but it sounds interesting. I've never been racing in Wales, but that's part of my heritage, and I'm very interested in at some point going to Fos Las and all those places.
It was Fos Las, and it just so happened that last Thursday was their 10th birthday, and I saw the name, and I went to their website, and I was like, "What? I've never even heard of this racetrack." And it's a fascinating story. They basically built it on the site of a retired coal mine, and it literally means ditch, blue. I think blue ditch is what it meant in Welsh. When I saw their name last week, when I went to their website, it was exactly the 10th anniversary of its founding, June 20th, which is my father's 90th birthday. So it's just kind of funny. And Fos Las is running today as well. But I couldn't remember if you were on the air when we discovered this obscurity.
No, it's been on my list for a long time. I'm not sure if it's probably the westernmost course on that island. You know, I the way it's angled with Scotland, maybe there's something that's comparable, but I think it's the westernmost. It's supposed to be very difficult to get to, but it's supposed to be a really great day at the races. And I'm a big fan of little independent race courses over there. I've had some of my most fun days at the races at places like Perth and Plumpton. And I think it sort of fits in that general area, though I can't remember if it's flat end jumps or just flat. It's got to be jumping if it fails. But that's a place I want to get for sure. And yeah, I'd love to do. There's too many courses to do. You couldn't just go over and do them all. You know, it's a lifetime project. But at some point, I have to sit down, write all the ones I've been to, and start making a concerted effort to get to the other ones, because it's a fun way of doing it out there. Where because of the short meets in a place like that, I'm sure in that town, in that part of the world, it feels like an event. So you get a little extra, buzz, a little bit of extra juice. That, you know, nothing against a long meet. Obviously, we have great racing here for months at a time, and there's a benefit to that too. But there's also a benefit to the short meets and the extra energy push you get out of that. So we'll make a pact now, Steve. At some point in the next couple of years, we'll do a live hit from Foschloss.
I love it. Those of you that didn't realize or didn't think that we'd be discussing the fourth race at Carlisle today, I'm afraid I've siphoned out the value on Al Erag, who has dropped now from 14-1 down to 8-1, Pete. And I'm sorry for those of you that were looking to bet him. I'm putting my bet in now, and I don't know if this is going to knock him down more. I don't know how big the pool is, but I'm going to try to maybe we can do a little omni, and maybe that'll help. So
still getting some value, I'd say, at that price. It looks like 11-2 is the general price now. So I mean, you're still beating the market. Which is something to be said for. Of course, it could change further, but I'd take my chances.
Well, I've got Deja now. She's watching this stuff. She's all excited, and she's taking an interest. That was Salisbury, I think, that just ran. And as we wait for them to get closer, we're about a minute or two away. And this is such a personal peak kind of a thing, because you know I named our horse after this race, after the Carlisle Bell, and some years when they run the Bell. They also have a plate. The race after this, they've got the Carlisle Bell, and then they've got another handicap, a feature called the Cumberland Plate. These aren't group races, but it's a nice handicap, and given the age of particularly of the Bell, which goes back to 1599.
Oh my God!
It's the oldest trophy. The oldest known trophy in sport, certainly in our arena.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, there might be some. I don't know if there's a curling or an archery or a jousting trophy that's older, but there isn't a trophy older than the Carlisle Bell when it comes to horse racing.
That's so cool. How did you become aware of it in the first order?
I have no idea. I have no recollection. I had on an earlier computer, I had a file that I used to keep. Whenever a name or something came across that struck me as a good name for a horse, and it might be a storyline, it might be, it might be something like this, and I just kept accruing them. And this particular concept, the oldest trophy in sport, in our sport, I thought, what a great name for a horse. And because of the filly aspect, putting an E at the end of Bell felt like a natural. So Carlisle Bell.
How did she come out of the win?
Excellent. Spit and fire, actually. And she will look to Saratoga and try to capitalize on more wet tracks. I don't want to wish.
I was going to ask that.
I don't want to.
That definitely moved. Oh yeah, she clearly.
I mean. She clearly appreciates a wet track. I mean, Andy, and you talked to Andy Sterling about this. Andy thinks that the concept of horses, you know, that move up is overplayed. But he thinks it's more a lot of horses perform poorly. And so it makes the ones that win and run well, it makes them look like they've relished the going. He thinks there's you know, a much smaller percentage of horses that truly move up on the wet track. She may be one, and because now both of her wins have come over a wet track.
Well, could make for some fun. Could make for a fun afternoon in Saratoga. If you see a man in a suit doing a rain dance in the backyard, that's probably true.
The group is actually coming behind the gate, and we're not far from a start in the Carlisle Bell. And let's go back and check the pricing. And 5-1, I managed to ruin everybody's hopes on Al Ireg. I don't know if it was listeners diving in on this one. That's still a decent price. The favorite is Club Wexford, 3-1, and second choice. The is Lamb Loom with Danny Tudhope. This is a 5-year-old gelding. David O'Meara, 4-1 second choice. Brother McGonigal taking money, 6-1. Originaling, actually, Equiano, 5-year-old. And also in single digits is Saison d'Or, the 12. So, and this is a bulky group too. Originally was slated to send 17, and I think there was one scratch. So 16 are going to go postward here, and we're just about set for a start. And Deja, you're it's funny, you continue to be a couple of ticks behind me, Deja. It's kind of funny. The studio is just a little bit behind. How many? That's very strange. We had the same thing, Pete, last week. The Florida feed, for whatever reason down there, was in some cases 30, 40 seconds behind the at least the one I've got. So, how close are you there, Deja? From what you see, she's there's still a lot. There's oh boy. We're ready to race. Here you go. The Carlisle Bell.
And they're off and racing. This is the Agma Stablemate Carlisle Bell. Away then over the 1 mile distance. Micmac was the one slightly slowly away, but Star of Southwold gets a nice sharp break, and Club Wexford up with the pace as well. Tadawal and Lam Loom also not far away from them. Lam Loom towards the outside from that high draw. Saison d'Or just in behind those, followed by My Amigo and Dark Intention. She's right up with the pace as well as they make the first turn. Roussein and Brother McGonigal next, and then there's a gap of two lengths to Al Ghafal, who heads the remaining runners. After Al Ghafal is Tough Remedy, who's just been bustled along a little bit. New Look is just in behind those, and Al Ireg is off the pace at the moment, but will probably relish a strong gallop ahead of him. Just in behind those, Dreamwalker. To the wide outside of the field is the Navigator, and Mick Mack is still in last place as they now head uphill for home. And up front, Club Wexford has come to put Star of Southwold under some pressure. Star of Southwold ridden along Club Wexford against the rail. Just in behind those, Tadawal is also now being driven along. Saison d'Or likewise. Roussein in behind those, looking for something to come off the pace. Brother McGonigal and then Al Ghafal both under a little bit of pressure. They're struggling to get to these leaders, and Star of Southwold now in front from Roussein. Roussein now quickening up smartly on the outside of Star of Southwold, who's stay on all day. These two now clear of the field in the bell. Roussein for David Egan and Roger Fell. Roger threw plenty of darts at the race, and he's won it. He's beaten Star of Southwold. Back in third place came Al Ghafal. In behind those, the likes of Saison d'Or ran nicely for a long, long way, but the prize goes to Roger Fell. Roussein, a really good winner.
Well, there you go. And this is going to be a price, I think. Let's get back to the board. And the 7, Roussein, 15-1, an Invincible Spirit 8-year-old gelding. And when he struck the lead, and that was a good call in terms of the horses from off the pace that just were not making up any ground. And Roussein in behind some of the leaders. You also had the one rally somewhat, the 7 Star of Southwold's 7-1, and the 17 Al Ghafal 53-1, an American bred. Oh my God! I didn't even notice this. This is a funny side, brother.
This is phenomenal.
This is Rockside. This is Rockside. I think is actually Rockside is what the sister. I think the sister of Funnyside. How about that? Al Ghafal by Spitestown, all the way at the bottom of the screen. Brian Ellison. That is hysterical. Finishes third at 53-1. So 7-1, 17-12. There's your finish in the Carlisle Bell. And yeah, because Rockside. Would be out of Bell's good side and pull up that pedigree. That's pretty funny. A funny side sibling here finishes third at a monster price. So there's the Carlisle Bell and our value push Al Areg never really got much of a call. He had the one call about halfway through and really did not rally at all. So that was fun. Pete, we'll catch up with the contest news. I know there were a couple of seats awarded over the weekend domestically, and we'll look forward to the second half of the year. We're away next week. We got our annual vacation, and then attention will turn to Saratoga when we're together next week from Wednesday.
I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. There were a couple of contests at Santa Anita last weekend. You have a second for me to run down the winners?
Sure, real quick. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Michael Webb got it done, winning 10,000 and a Pegasus entry on Sunday. Paul Cush second, Bill Sherman third, Jeff Boosen. I think I'm finally saying that right. I still might be butchering it. And then Tyler Hoffman, another familiar name, ends up in fifth. The rest of those folks get who were tour members get NHC seats. James Leal and Edward. I'm going to go with Dake is the other name that got an NHC seat in there. Then there was also a contest on Saturday that had a bigger buy-in. I'm just scrambling for that leaderboard right now. But that one, there were a lot of familiar names in it. Garrett Skiba's name was up there. Tony Joe's name was up there. Duke Matisse's name was up there. I'm, of course, now struggling to find the winner now that I need to do it quickly. But as always, there'll be plenty of action coming up. The big Saratoga contest being at the top of the pyramid as far as that goes. And Sammy Richmond's the name I was looking for, who won with a total of 11,878. Add to that 23,500 and a Pegasus entry. Tony Joe second, BC, Edward Dake again with another NHCC, Duke Batiste fourth, and Skiba just picked up 4,000 in cash to add to his impressive and ever-growing total in live bankroll contest. Lots more to come this summer, and we'll talk about it all here on At the Races.
Pete, I appreciate it, and have a great fourth, and we'll maybe do even, I'm not sure yet, you know, what I'm going to do from the racetrack, but a chance we do a preview live. When are you shifting tack?
If you were doing something like that on the Wednesday, that would be a really nice excuse for me to come up a couple of days early, which I can potentially do. I'll definitely be there for opening day, still sort of figuring out what my seminar/morning schedule is. And, you know, I'll talk to you offline about, I'd love to, you know, when you're doing stuff live, it'd be fun to roll by and help out. It's always a pleasure up there, and you know you'll get to see Perrin eating plenty of donuts and hot dogs.
Nice. Everyone loves that. Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly off of a fabulous adventure at Royal Ascot. Pete, thanks a lot.
Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure. We will be talking soon.
Pete Fornatel. Let's take a break. A little past the bottom of the hour. Sid Fernando, and Sid was worked out great because Sid was on a conference call himself, so he would have been a little hard-pressed for his normal 10 to 10:30. But we'll come back with Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, with Sid Fernando right after this.